This episode is powered by denmeditation.com. Though meditation is the primary focus, the bigger goal is for people to understand and love themselves, thus creating more harmony in the community at large. To find out more about Den Meditation's teacher training programs, retreats, and all things Den Meditation, go to denmeditation.com. Welcome to Den Talks Podcast. This is Holly, your host and the founder of Den Meditation. We are here for our monthly forecast. We are forecasting energetically May. Once again, we have our lovely Rose Theodora, who is amazing, and she is going to let us know what we have in store for May. If you guys remember, in April, she was talking about kind of how really it was the tail end of April that energy starts moving. So I'm so curious to see what that means for May and what's happening for us. So welcome, Rose, and thank you for always being here and helping us move through, you know, the tough times, the easy times, the great times with more ease with these wonderful forecasts.
Thank you for having me. May is going to be a juicy month.
Ooh.
Yeah, as the successor to April, where we had the eclipses, and if you recall, it was about focus of self, going inward a little bit, but really thinking about how we want to move forward and be more in the world, be more ourselves, participate more, respond to life. May is still very active, especially for Taurus season. You know, Taurus season starts April 19th, but through most of May, it will still be Taurus season. And Taurus season is usually associated with like slow, sensual embodiment. This season is very different, this Taurus season. It is electric, could be a word. Yeah, it's not the slow and embodied Taurus season that we know, though it would probably be good to have a nice practice. It's active. It's very active. So on April 20th, we had Jupiter. If you listen to the last for April's podcast, we spoke about how Jupiter in Taurus, that planet of what you are honing in terms of personal growth, in the sign of Taurus is monetarily, we're all thinking about how to improve our lives. And Jupiter in Taurus met Uranus. And Uranus is the planet of moving past familiarity, becoming unhinged, becoming liberated, finding liberation financially and in relationships and moving away from stuckness. So this is sort of the precursor for May. And in May, we have Uranus very present and Jupiter finishing its cycle, its year-long cycle. Jupiter spends 1 year in each sign, bringing that sign to full maturation, helping that sign and that area of our lives to grow. And exponentially, Jupiter is like the snowball effect, and Jupiter will enter Gemini on May 25th. And that is one of the biggest highlights for the month of May, is that our luck, where we find growth, where we are experiencing that snowball effect, will be taking place in the Gemini area of our lives and in our charts.
I know, obviously, it's very specific to someone's chart, but in general, Jupiter entering Gemini, talk about what that means, like what that snowball effect kind of is in a general sense.
Yeah. So the planet Jupiter is the planet, if you imagine that each planet is associated with a human faculty or human experience, Jupiter is the planet of personal belief and personal growth. Jupiter knows no discernment. So whatever is currently happening in your life related to Gemini themes. Now, Gemini themes are communication, how you communicate, what you say, how well you listen. Gemini is the sign of listening. Gemini is the sign of perspective. Gemini is a sign of taking information and then fact checking it. It's the opposite sign of Sagittarius. Sagittarius is the sign of truth through experience, not necessarily fact checking. So I would say Sagittarius is more of self-ordained through experience, and Gemini is the sign of learning something through study, through conversation, through fact-checking. So Gemini is a sign that wants to gather information through conversation, through reading, through listening to podcasts, and then adapt or to learn something new that changes our perspective, because Gemini is a mutable, malleable air sign, and air is pervasive. It means that the more information we consume, the more our perspective changes, the more conversations we have, the more we listen, the more adaptable we become. This can be very positive. This can also be negative, because Jupiter, the planet that is associated with monumentous growth, the snowball effect, you could take one idea and maybe it hasn't been sourced or fact-checked or talked about enough, and it could spin out of control. Maybe there is, in the negative sense, maybe there's something published that has a negative connotation, and then that spins out of control or grows, and it grows through conversation or gossip or hearsay. In a positive sense, more information will be available to us to fact check, to have open and real conversations. It's also, Jupiter in Gemini is a really wonderful time if you are a writer or thinking about becoming a writer or publishing something or researching a topic. Now or in this year, starting in May, once Jupiter makes that ingress into Gemini on May 25th, would be the time to start doing that. It would be a time to start, researching, having the conversations, putting as May is the successor to April, you're building on that eclipse in Aries energy. And so it would be a time to take personal risks around communication, saying what you mean, saying what's on your heart, reaching out to people, having those meaningful conversations, writing something you've always wanted to write. And that is Jupiter in Gemini in the best sense. Jupiter in Gemini in the negative sense, it means overwhelm from too much information. It means too much talking and not enough listening. It can mean not enough observing how that information is landing in the body and how the nervous system is processing all that plentiful of information, right?
So is it also, and I see on the bigger realm, like the collective realm, how that could be tricky. Is there also an element of like, should we be watching what we say to people, like make sure we're not part of like a rumor mill?
Yeah. If you do say something, it could get around. Absolutely. It's a time to be open and frank, but it is a time to also listen and know that your words will have ample effect. It's like they are very strong, and they will circulate and they will grow, and it could get out of control. So absolutely. And because Gemini is the human faculty for the mind, there needs to be a monitoring of what you are thinking and what you are consuming. How is information affecting you and the nervous system? What are you believing? Jupiter's belief. How are you observing your mental process? Are you typically a negative thinker? Do you complain a lot? Are you a gossiper? Are you saying things that you don't mean, that are not aligned? It's a time to observe what your personal process is and your relationship to Gemini and what it means. I could see a lot of people realizing how they think, and it's a time to course correct. It could be a time to kind of lasso in this luck around how your thoughts can change your reality, or how you can powerfully use your words to will an experience and to grow in a way that feels satisfactory or that feels really nourishing for you versus just being kind of unaware of how the mind works and unaware of how thoughts and words affect your experience as well as others, other people's.
It's a powerful time.
Yeah. And you know, each planet has a certain level of comfort in a sign, and Jupiter does not do well in the sign of Gemini because Jupiter wants to grow and expand. But Gemini is a sign that wants to take like a seeded idea or something and circulate it and kind of keep fact checking and share the idea. So it can be a time when you do publish something and it blows up and it's there on the internet for, I don't know, what's the shelf life, an eternity or 10 years. Really be mindful of what you're posting, what you're putting out there, more so than you ever have. So that's, you can see, yeah, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like with every power, you have to be very aware because it feels like it's just, it's like, it feels very magnetic, like a very magnetic time. And you have to use your power wisely.
Yeah. And another thing to think about is Jupiter return for individuals, right? If a person is born in the year 1988 and 12 years before that and 12 years after that, because Jupiter repeats itself every 12 years, it has what's called a return, which is a revelation. So there's this completion cycle every 12 years that Jupiter makes. So in your individual life, in every person's life, Jupiter will be returning to the same place it was 12 years ago, which was what year? We're in 2024. That would have been, what year is that?
12?
Yeah, 2012.
Yeah.
So what were you doing in 2012 in terms of consuming information, writing? What ideas did you have? What conversations? It would be a time to, it could be fun to even go back through old emails and see, oh, how is that bridge from 2012 connecting to today? But these people with Jupiter return, they're going to realize that this is a huge opportunity and lucky time for them to grow. But if you've ever met and observed a Jupiter and Gemini person, like I have with people and in my practice, counseling them too, they are the people that feel like they don't know enough. They don't have all the facts. They don't have enough information. And so sometimes that can be a detriment because they don't proceed in their lives. They don't feel confident enough in some areas of communication because they feel like everyone else knows more than they do. And of course, that's not true, right? And you only can progress through experience eventually. So by putting ourselves in these situations and learning from other people. So people with Jupiter in Gemini natally never feel like they have enough information. And so they're the ones always reading. They're the ones, but not for pleasure, to consume information, to grow and to learn and to hoard information.
So in a weird way, they probably know more than everyone. They just don't believe it.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they're the people that I love to ask, you know, many random facts. Like, well, what do you think about that weather? And they'll know something profound about like a weather tool, you know, and then you'll say, well, what about this political system? You know, they know so many facts about so many things. So you can really tap them for any bit of information, which is fun for me. They don't know what I'm doing, but it's fun.
I love that.
So that's Jupiter and Gemini. That's huge because that sets up a precedence for how we are. So Jupiter is where we grow our life, right? Mercury moves very quickly. Mercury is the mental faculty. So Mercury for most of May, starting, I think it's May 1st, Mercury enters. I'm just going to check that. Mercury enters Gemini. May 15th, Mercury enters Taurus. So we're going to be thinking about Taurus things for half the month. Before that, Mercury is in Aries because it went retrograde in Aries, right, on the 1st to the 25th. So it's still in Aries when we start May. And it isn't until the 15th that Mercury enters Taurus. And we start thinking about Taurus things, money, security, safety, security in relationships. So on May 22nd, we have the planet Venus, the planet, the harmonizer, the receiver, the resting heartbeat, meets Jupiter before it enters Gemini. So this is the 22nd. This is just 3 days before Jupiter enters Gemini. And Venus will meet Jupiter in Taurus at the 29th degree, which we call the anaretic degree, the tipping point. And so this is such a sweet day, May 22nd, of Jupiter and Venus, the two what we call benefics in astrology, coming together, which is lucky around money, love. But it's so impulsive. Not impulsive. Impulsive is the wrong word. It's so indulgent. It's so humanistic. So, so good. We need it, right? We need that. Like, it's not a day for working. That's for sure. May 22nd is a day to make love. It's a day to get a massage. It's a day to spend money on yourself. It's a day to invest. But notice that you're going, because it's the last anaretic degree, it's like an urgency to spend money on it. It is. So is that emotionally driven, or are you making a sound financial judgment that day? Also, May 18th is also one of the luckiest days of the year.
Whoa, why?
We should probably lead with that.
Because okay, so Jupiter, May 18th, luckiest day of the
May 18th, year. May 18th, one of, and here's why. Once a year, the sun will shine a light on the planet Jupiter, and they come into union, which is called a Cassini. Tal, you're so familiar with Cassinis. You know what they're about.
Yes.
Do you want to share? What are they about?
Well, it's when the sun and another planet are on the same degree. So the sun is shining all its light on it. So it emphasizes it in a very good way.
Yeah, it's same wavelength, right? It's said to be blessed by the sun. The sun is the queen of our universe, right?
And you said sometimes if you're like just even 1 degree off and you're close, that can actually be a little tough and a harder energy. But when they're right on top of each other, when it's the exact same degree, it's like you said, blessed.
Total alignment. Yeah, it's blessed. And that means that there is a very spiritual union and realization around what we are growing physically, tangibly, monetarily, and relationally in our lives, that is going to become very evident. And remember, Taurus is the sign of security, security in the body, our needs being met, security in relationships, growing that which we are giving energy and love to. And so when the sun shines a light on Jupiter on May 18th, Venus in Taurus also connects to Uranus. And that is also a really beautiful connection, because there's just so much Taurian luck around prosperity. So if you wanted to do anything special for yourself, you know, take yourself to the spa, spend money on yourself. It's such a beautiful day to invest in you and to invest in what you love. Because Taurus is a sign of quality, it's really investing in things that you love and people that you love. So,
and it's a lucky day, you were saying too.
It's such a lucky, it's supposed to be the luckiest day of the year.
Is it a day to take risks? Like, can someone take finances?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting to see the market that day, you know, what's happening with the market too. And then 2 days later, the sun leaves Taurus and enters the sign Gemini and starts setting up the stage for Jupiter to enter Gemini. So we really have, like, midway through the month, these sweet nectar, juicy aspects. It can also be, there can be a volatility with all of the having the eclipse season before. You know, I could see a scenario where a person isn't feeling loved and they're feeling hedonistic, and it would be a time of complete indulgence, and it's that tipping point. So there's an urgency to spend money. There's an urgency to, people could feel greedy, which would be not typical for everyone, but some people may feel that experience depending on one's natal chart. So, And then we have that May 22nd when Jupiter and Venus come together. So that whole 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 is just so sweet.
I love it.
On the same day, May 23rd is a full moon in Sagittarius. So Gemini season starts May 20th. And then we have the full moon in Sag on the 23rd. And then Venus enters Gemini in the same day of that full moon. So the sun is going to be sitting with Venus opposing the moon in Sag. I mean, that's an incredible also window for information, for traveling, for booking travel. That's exciting.
So what on the full moon, is it as much about letting go on this one or is it about opening up to receive?
I would say it's more opening up to receive and opening up to information and changing the way you think about the world and the way you experience the world and being open to that. And of course, this has been in motion. Whenever we have a full moon, there's that, it's a culmination period. So it's not quite a new beginning as much as a realization about what new experiences we want to have based on the conversations we've been having, based on how our perspective has shifted.
Is there a new moon in the month?
There is a new moon in the month. The new moon is in Taurus on May 7th. It's in a trine to Saturn. So 100% this is a new beginning. You've got Uranus, the planet of extremes in Taurus and taking risks. Financially, you have Jupiter there with the sun, the moon, Venus now in Taurus, making a harmonious aspect to Saturn. There's a stabilizing and long-term effect for a new beginning financially that is huge. So I'm also seeing on that day, Mercury, the mental faculty, slowly picking up speed in Aries from its retrograde journey in April is aligning to Chiron. So we're really thinking clearly about what we want. And we've really reflected. So I would absolutely say that's a huge new moon to make an investment, especially in tech, especially something a little unconventional, a startup, something entrepreneurial, or art or jewelry.
Ooh.
Because Venus, big investments in art and jewelry because Venus is the ruler of Taurus and it is in the sign Taurus at that time. Closely linked to this new moon. So it's right there next to it. So that's a really auspicious day. I mean, the more I look at May, you know, a lot of astrologers think it is a volatile time this year. I think for the market, it's probably we're gonna see some pretty big changes, but I think for an individual, it is a time of prosperity, a time of making big investments, a time of reward. And a time of really enjoying life and really tapping into the senses. And I think that's what the human experience is about, right? Is feeling and experiencing life through those senses and taking it in and letting it inform you. So again, it's about the body, but it's more about taking May as an opportunity to improve your life because of that work you did in April.
It's like you get to reap the benefits a little bit in May. I love that. May is good. Like you said,
it might be
a little volatile as far as financially in the markets and stuff, but you feel like for individual growth and stuff.
I feel like it's great. Pluto goes retrograde May 2nd. It's going to soften all that work we've done since January 21 when Pluto entered Aquarius. And introduced a new problem into the world. And personally, it's a time to kind of slow down and not maybe work on that problem for a minute and do all the Taurus work in our lives that we've been doing over the past year of really reevaluating the quality, the way that what we spend money on, what's important, what's of value to us, what we find beautiful, what helps us to feel safe and embodied. Considering everything we've been through in the world, especially since 2020. So that's my take for May.
Amazing.
It's exciting.
Thank you. Thank you for a lovely report. Thank you for a lovely forecast.
Thank you.
Everyone write down those dates because there's some big ones to be aware of that we can take advantage of. So thank you for that.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Happy May, everybody.
May.
Bye. Ciao.
Ciao.